From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the weather forecast with Drew Lerner, hear about the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, and look at the very tight cash basis for corn with University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. Nearby December soft red winter wheat at $6.19.5, down 16¾¢. The March at $6.56¼, 16½ lower. Next year's July, the harvest month, in Chicago at $6.94¼, down 14¢. Kansas City wheat for the hard red at $7.47 in the July, down 16½¢. Back in Chicago from the corn pit at the CME Group, $6.37¼, the settlement price, 13½¢ lower. March at $6.49½, down 12¾. The May at $6.55¼, down 12½. In July, $6.58¾, 12½¢ lower. September corn at $6.18¼, down 11½. Next year's December, the new crop at $6.50, down 8¢ for the day. November beans, $12.10½, 15¢ lower. January at $12.19¾, down 14¢. The March at $12.29¼, 14¼ lower. In July at $12.45¼, down 14¼¢. Next year's November at $12.20¾, down 10¾ for new crop soybeans. Bean meal futures at $3.17, down $5.20. In the December, bean oil at $50.89. December contract down 61 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at $1.21 and a nickel, down $1.05. December at $1.20 and $0.42½. Down $1.55, that for the live cattle. October feeders at $139.72½, or 7½¢ higher, but the November futures lost a dime to settle at $141.70. Lean hogs at $87.25, finished down $0.82½. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures trading at $90.41 a barrel, down $2.76. Ethanol at $2.68¼, that's 0.8¢ lower. Natural gas at $3.59¢, down 6¢. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at 3¼¢ lower, finished at $3.08. Gold futures at $1,722.70 an ounce, up $23.10. In the Dow at 11,832, now just about 126 points higher. The dollar at 76.2 is up 0.13. The CRB index at 316.15, down 3.83 on the afternoon. The weather forecast, as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, is calling for a 50% chance of showers. It'll be cloudy, a high near 56 degrees in the area, north winds at 11 to 14, gusting all the way to 20. Tonight, showers likely, cloudy, a low 43. Again, those north winds will be sustained at 11 miles an hour, gusting to 16. The chance of precipitation in the area this evening set at 70%. Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 53 degrees. North-northwest winds between 10 and 15. And Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 36. Northwest winds at 3 to 7. Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 56 degrees. West-northwest winds at 3 to 5. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of just 35 degrees. On Saturday, sunny skies, a high of 54. Saturday night, clear and 36. Sunday, sunny and 57. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 39. On Monday, mostly sunny skies to start your work week with a high of 59 degrees. Monday night, clear and a low of 39. And Tuesday of next week, 62 degrees and sunny skies. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at the bottom of this half hour with a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us for this Wednesday afternoon to take up the futures markets, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
A bit of an ugly day in Chicago. Lots of red on our screens. What happened?
Well, a couple things. The market has been particularly the corn soybean market and to some extent the crude oil market has been, I think, quite strong, maybe for all the wrong reasons. We started to get the reports that it's awful hard to sell corn and soybeans and wheat out of the U.S. Everybody seems to be selling those commodities cheaper. We know that Europe is in a complete financial mess, chaos, and the amount of money and funds that it's going to take to change that economy and the situation is extremely enormous. We know that there's going to be an abundance of acres next year coming into the farming. We know there's a major commodity firm that's in possible trouble. And at the same time, weather continues to be good in South America. And as a result of this, the whisper continues to be a little better corn, soybean crop. And as the market basically re-examined itself here, if you have a commodity and you can't sell it in the world market, it usually comes back and tells us that the Chicago Board of Trade at some point in time.
So two things, and if you could take corn up in both the old crop, which is either in the bin or harvested at this point, and the new crop, and whether sales should be made in one or the other or both of those.
Well, it's a good question. We know that from just a pure price level it's hard to sell in the world market.
Mm-hmm.
We know the farmer is an extremely strong holder of corn and soybeans at this time. And I would think that, my basic opinion is that, I think the unofficial trend is still down here to a great deal. And I do think that being a seller of new crop corn and soybeans next year is very prudent. Certain things jump out at me over the weekend. Bloomberg had a statement that said Cargill said that these high prices are encouraging major expansion in feed grains and oilseed production in the world. Cargill was one of the main key numbers there and more production, and we're starting to see that come into the world market now. That's one of the red flags that bothers me a little bit, and of course we're off to good growing conditions. And then the third thing is, we are seeing some economic turmoil. I do agree that I think the U.S. economy is a little stronger than most in the world, and it seems like we are gaining some economic momentum, and the stock market sure acting a lot better than it did at least 35 to 40 days ago.
Yeah, the Europeans are meeting. They're trying to figure out what to do with Greece, Portugal, Spain, some of those.
Italy,
some of those countries. If they come to some agreement, will that be very helpful?
That would be helpful. But, Italy said they were going to have monumental changes in their economy 30 days ago, and there hasn't been one inch of reform. And the deficits are so enormous, and their lifestyles are on the competitive standards and Europe standards of any place in the world, and they really don't have that many new things or exciting things to offer. So at some point in time, either through taxes or changes in style of governments have to come about, and that's one of the big pills that Europe has to take at this time.
Paul Cooley, as we wrap up today, your best thought or advice on the afternoon?
Well, I think that we are seeing some major changes in the stock market, and I think that we're going to avoid a double dip recession.
Oh, well, that is good news. Thank you so much, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the Farm Doc Daily website last week, ag economist from the U of I, Daryl Good and Scott Irwin, penned an article on cash basis and its tightness in the Corn Belt. Daryl Good is now with us to take up that article. Thanks so much for taking the time. Tell me, please, why did you pen the article and what did you start with?
What we've seen on corn is a continuing and ongoing strengthening of the basis in most markets. That's been happening regardless of what's happened with the price level. We've seen prices move higher into August, break sharply from there, and then recently recover somewhat. Spreads in the futures market have also varied quite a bit during that period. But the one constant has been an ongoing strengthening of the basis. And here in South Central Illinois, for example, right now, we're looking at spot cash bids that are about equal to the futures price, so approaching a zero basis. That would be the strongest basis for this time of year that we've ever experienced.
And normally we would be 25 to 30 under?
You know, historically there's a lot of variation in that, but, you know, that 20 cent under is probably kind of a normal for this time of year. We have seen other years when we've had short crops and a fairly tight basis at this time of year. But even in those years, we did not get to even money here in the last week of October.
And producers will be wondering whether this is a marketplace. And I don't know whether they'll really be wondering because they really are started. They've shut the bin door at this point. So the question is, should they have shut the bin door or should they make sales because of the short crop long tail phenomenon or the idea that the market's telling you you should sell, and if you don't, it's likely to be much lower in the future?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. I mean, the tight basis is really signaling from the demand side that the corn is needed into the marketplace. Farmers, I think, react more to flat price than they do basis. But certainly other commercial holders of corn, country elevators and so on, who are owning inventory for storage hedges are getting very strong signals to move corn to the market because this kind of basis just does not offer much return to storage. The other thing the basis is saying, though, I think is important for farmers, is it's saying that corn demand is pretty strong right now, that there is a shortage of spot market supplies, and all the numbers we look at right now seem to me to be very friendly from the demand side. We're seeing the best spot ethanol margins we've seen in 2 years, record high cattle and hog prices, expanding milk cow numbers, 5% more cattle on feed than we had a year ago, huge export sales on a weekly basis. So I think the basis is certainly reflecting that. And the question is, why is the futures market a little more timid here with this kind of demand news? And my speculation is that that market is tempered by the ongoing concerns about global economics and global financial conditions, particularly in Europe, and saying, yeah, things are pretty good right now. We're using a lot of corn. We've got tight supplies, but we're really worried about demand longer run. And I think that's being reflected in the futures market. But on a day-to-day basis, I mean, the cash market rules, that's where transactions are made. And if corn is needed, they're bidding for corn. So, you know, you would say the basis is saying don't store, let your corn come to market. But I think there is reason to be a little bit friendly to the corn market here in the short run, as long as we're seeing these kind of demand numbers.
What's at risk for the producer?
Well, I mean, obviously the risk is that We do see some unfolding of some financial problems that escalate in Europe. We don't see a satisfactory solution to the Greece situation. We see ongoing weakness in our own domestic economy. We see some collapse in oil prices or livestock prices so that the strong demand we're now witnessing kind of deteriorates. So there is that kind of risk, but that, I think, is maybe further down the road. I think near term looks like we're on pretty solid ground. So yes, they're at these kind of price levels, I mean, we're well off the highs, but with $6.50 cash corn, everybody has to admit we're still at pretty high price levels, and we're vulnerable to some decline if demand shows signs of weakness.
The trumpeting call from most analysts these days are short crop, long tail, or the idea that demand will erode and that prices are high now and that it's a good place to market. Is that truly the case for the old crop corn or the one that was just harvested?
Well, I mean, I did write about that earlier on, that we're shaping up short crop that would peak early. And clearly the market corn prices did peak in late August there, where we dropped $2 from those levels. And we're still $1.20 below those highs that we saw in late August. So we did have an early peak, and I think the real question now is, what does the tail look like? You know, in the past, we tend to characterize that as, okay, you spike to a high early in the marketing year, and then you have a smooth decline to lower levels through the marketing year. I think in this new environment, what we're saying is, yes, the long-term trend may be towards slightly lower prices, but not necessarily a smooth transition to those lower prices. A lot of erratic price behavior as we get there because of all the factors that now influence prices that we really didn't think about in the past. I mean, ethanol is still relatively new. That's a strong factor in the market. Chinese demand, how much corn are they going to buy? The world financial situation, South American production. We've got a lot of factors that are going to influence price here, and that suggests to me that we will continue to see pretty wide movements in price of corn.
Two final topics. Take up the soy complex for me.
Basically, we're seeing soybean prices in a more, I think, of a trading pattern here, on the sideways pattern on soybeans. We don't see nearly the strength in the bases that we see on corn. We think that the marketing year has started with a pretty slow crush pace. Exports are moving well below what we had at this time last year, although admittedly last year was unusual in that China was buying and shipping soybeans very aggressively very early in the marketing year last year. We've got good weather conditions in South America as they're planting the crop there. So you don't sense the kind of overall tightness in soybeans, even though the balance sheet says we're going to be pretty tight. We don't feel that right now in the market. Exports pretty slow, crush pretty slow, and so the market is really not bidding up to get soybeans to flow to the market right now.
One final question. USDA is eliminating a number of reports. What do you think the influence of that might be on the ability to transmit good and accurate data into the marketplace?
Yeah, I looked at the list of reports that they're doing away with, and for the most part, those reports are associated with what we here in the Midwest would call the minor crops or commodities. The one that stands out, I think, important to Midwest agriculture is the mid-year cattle inventory report is going to be discontinued. That's probably the most important. But I think the major reports are going to stay in place, although we do see, I think, not from USDA, but from the Census Bureau, Department of Commerce, that they're doing away with all of their what they call their current industrial reports, which means we will no longer have the monthly soybean crush estimates and the monthly consumption estimates for soybean oil, for example. So we're going to lose quite a bit of information there, not so much from USDA in the short run, but from the Census Bureau.
Would it be valuable if the EIA were to somehow count DDGs when they're taking into account ethanol, when they're gathering information from the ethanol plants?
It would be extremely valuable if somebody could do that. I mean, we just have really not very much information on DDG production, consumption. The only decent numbers we have, again, are from the Census Bureau with their monthly exports of DDGs. And so the only way right now that people are estimating domestic consumption of DDGs is kind of a backdoor saying, well, we produced so much ethanol that obviously needed so much corn, and using some kind of conversion ratio, we say that obviously produced X amount of DDGs. Census Bureau said we exported so much, so the residual is what we think was fed domestically. And so it's completely a residual calculation without starting with a good number on how much DDGs were actually produced in any given time period. So I think it would be extremely helpful, but we don't seem to be in the environment right now of people wanting to collect more data. But I think a case could be made for giving up some additional reports in favor of starting this kind of report.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good talking about the corn prices, basis, and spreads article he and Scott Irwin penned last week that you can read in detail on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's a Wednesday afternoon, time to check the cash grain market, and Scott Butcher is on the phone line with us from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Thanks so much, Scott, for taking time. Producers still capable of getting in the field and harvesting corn today, I take it.
Yeah, they're really getting after it right now. We've got some rain in the forecast, maybe later today and then tomorrow. So we've got a lot of guys in our area trying to get as much done as they can before the rain.
And there has been some talk that there haven't really been lines at many facilities, although there has been a line here at the Andersons in Champaign County, yeah. I know, at least a dump early in the morning. That might be overnight. How about there at your facility?
Yeah, we've been very similar. We see a lot of traffic first thing in the morning or later in the afternoon as people are trying to get finished up for the day. So it definitely has been an interesting fall so far.
What are your bids for the day?
Right now, corn, we are $6.44, beans $11.85.
And the basis is what?
Basis right now for us is 7 over the December for corn and 25 under for beans.
Wow, that is simply amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So do you think you'll continue the overs for very long? And you're still in the heart of your corn harvest there.
Yeah, we are. We definitely are, but we're seeing values even higher to the east of us and to the north of us, where maybe harvest isn't quite as far along. So that's kind of pulling everything up right now.
Your expectations when we get out a month from now and harvest is over, will we still be seeing these kinds of overs on corn basis?
Yeah, I think we will. I mean, I think a lot of places are going to struggle to fill their space this year to get their needs met. So I think that basis levels are probably going to stay strong.
Scott, thank you so much for taking the time with us for the day.
No problem.
Scott Butcher is at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll say so long now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a bit with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Mincemeat Pie Day. The origin of the mincemeat pie goes back to the Middle Ages, where chopped liver, boiled egg yolks, dried fruit, and spices were wrapped in a fried or baked pastry. By the 16th century, the mincemeat pie was considered a Christmas specialty. On this day in agricultural history in 1825, the 363-mile-long Erie Canal was finished. Connecting the Great Lakes to the Hudson River and Albany, it provided a water route from the Great Lakes to New York City and the Atlantic Ocean, and began the Great Canal Building Era in the U.S. Canal boats facilitated exchange of manufactured goods from the city with agricultural products from the Midwest. In 1854, Charles William Post was born. An American industrialist, he founded Post Cereal Company and created Grape Nuts Cereal. Post was being treated at the sanitarium of John Harvey Kellogg, where he was fed a grain-intensive vegetarian diet. That provided the inspiration for the manufacture of Postum, a grain product intended as a coffee substitute. 1 year later, Post followed that up with Grape Nuts, and 7 years later, he added Elijah's Manna to the lineup. That cereal is known today as Post Toasties. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated, now on the phone line from Kansas City. Drew, let's start with the forecast right here in our part of the world, East Central Illinois, where the skies are gray and cloudy, and I suppose we had a little fog this morning just because the temperatures started to drop and soil temperatures were hotter than what we were seeing in air temperatures.
Well, yes, we are in the midst of a cool front coming through the region, and that's really a lot of the reason for the changes in the atmosphere at the moment. You know, it was pretty downright balmy the last couple of days, and really nice for this time of the year, but I'm afraid we're going to have a little reality shock here for a little bit with the colder temperatures coming down from the north, and everybody's going to be cooler for a while. We do have some showers that are going to be moving through the Midwest as we go forward through these next couple of days. The showers are not expected to be big rain producers, but there'll be an aggravation for field work a little bit for a while. Probably looking at moisture totals here that will run mostly a few hundredths of an inch up to about 5 or 6 tenths of an inch most often. There may be a few locations near and south of the Ohio River that might get a little bit more, and in the state of Ohio, too. I think there is a good chance that more delays will come with the field work there. Ohio's had such a tough time of it, and it looks like they're going to deal with it again. Another probably 3/4 of an inch of rain will occur across much of the state there with something locally greater.
Yeah, they had not, as of a couple of weeks ago, really gotten even a good start and thought that maybe last week they'd start on their corn crop. They're under the gun at this point in terms of both temperature, rainfall, and being able to move into those fields. How far behind do you think they might be?
Well, I'm sure that they haven't made very good progress here this week, and some of that field work was, they were still in the teens on progress, so I would imagine they've been a little bit this week, maybe picked up on 3 or 4 percentages, but I don't think it's going to be anything more than that, and that's going to leave them in some field work, you know, still with probably 3/5 of the crop left to go. So it's going to be a while before they can get out there and really aggressively work.
And usually those rainfall events sweep from west to east across the Midwest. When will we see drier and sunny skies for Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio?
Well, we are going to see some of that right after the cold air settles into the region, but there are two very weak little disturbances that will come in the northwest flow pattern that brings in the cool air, and so we'll actually have some cloudiness come in a couple of waves on Thursday into Friday and again to Saturday. That will likely generate a little bit of very light shower activity and, again, interfere with field work just a little bit. Those soybeans don't like any moisture, so some of the field work there will not advance. But corn harvesting and winter wheat planting will probably continue to move along around the showers. After that, though, I think we'll probably have a better opportunity for some drier weather and a warming trend, too, of sorts that will last for a little while during the early part of next week. So that's our probably next best window. But there is yet another cool front that will be coming into the region during midweek next week that will set off some more showers. So there's obviously going to be a little bit of a typical autumn weather pattern here where we have to dodge a lot of these little frontal boundaries.
And finally, producers in our area will be concerned with those nighttime lows and hopeful that they get soil temperatures at the 4-inch level at 50 degrees and stable and falling. Do you think that will happen anytime soon?
Well, I think that we're done with the warmest weather, so we are going to cool down, I think there's a fairly good chance that we'll see that cooling rate fairly steady. So over the next week or so, we'll probably see those temperatures come down quite a bit, I would think.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon edition I'm Todd Gleason.